RTE Radio 1 Sport with a Kia e-Niro. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia e-Niro with a range up to 455 kilometres.
24 minutes to 9 and it's a busy sports bulletin now with Des Cahill.
It is indeed, Anya. We're going to get straight into the drama from day one of the Masters. Shane Lowry is right in the mix, only one of a dozen players to break par yesterday. But one man is well ahead of the field. Reporting, Greg Allen.
Justin Rose compiled one of the great opening rounds in Masters history yesterday on a day when the course conditions and green speeds at times seemed actually to be on the edge and the scoring average was close to 75. And yet the 40-year-old Englishman was round in an amazingly economical 65, which leaves him four shots clear of Brian Harman and Hideki Matsuyama, who both posted 69s. Rose's round began without any sign of fireworks. He was actually two over par after seven, but an eagle three on the next hole began an extraordinary run of scoring.
To be 9 under for my last 11, you can never quite see that coming here at Augusta National, but I think it happened because I didn't panic, I guess, being 2 over through 7.
One man who had a front row seat watching the leader was Rose's playing partner Shane Lowry, who was playing well himself, and he birdied the last in a turbulent but still fine round of 71, which leaves him tied for 8th place on 1 under.
I felt like I played good, a couple of bad errors, you know, 10 and 15, but I was very kind of proud of myself the way I hung on. The golf course was, oh my God, I've never seen it like that, which was great. You know, I loved it. It's not very enjoyable when you're doing it, but when you look back on it, it's like, oh yeah, it was pretty cool.
Rory McIlroy's ongoing troubles in the first round of majors turned another chapter with a 4 over par 76. His misfortunes actually included a recovery shot from trees on the 7th, which landed on the leg of his father, Jerry, near the green.
I knew it was my dad when I was aiming at him, so 30 seconds before it hit him. It was a perfect shot, it was dead straight, but I think he was okay. He didn't limp away, he walked away pretty swiftly, so that was alright.
What's not alright is that McIlroy is 11 shots off the lead with a primary task today of just trying to make the cut.
Yeah, a lot happened, didn't it? Now, the Republic of Ireland women's team beaten 1-0 by Denmark in last night's friendly international. Despite conceding a sloppy early goal, the Irish coach Vera Pauw said she was proud of the Irish performance against the side ranked number 14 in the world. In the Europa League quarter-final first legs, Arsenal conceded a last-gasp equaliser in a 1-1 home draw with Slavia Prague. Nicolas Pepe put Arsenal ahead with 4 minutes to go, only to see the visitors draw level in the 94th minute with the crucial away goal. Manchester United secured a hard-fought 2-0 win at Granada thanks to goals from Marcus Rashford and the late Bruno Fernandes penalty. Roma won 2-1 at Ajax. Villarreal were 1-0 winners at Dinamo Zagreb. At home in tonight's Premier Division action, St Patrick's Athletic host Derry City and Dundalk play Bohemians at Oriel Park. There's also a full programme in the First Division. The GAA confirmed yesterday that inter-county hurling and football leagues begin in May. The men's All-Ireland finals will be on the last two weekends of August. Now, the Irish women's rugby team play Wales and Cardiff tomorrow in their opening game of the Six Nations Championship. And in the men's European Cup, Leinster face a very difficult trip to Exeter. Well, to look ahead to those games now, we're joined by Donal Lenihan. Good morning, Donal. Looking at the women's Six Nations first, non-rugby fans probably need to have their expectations managed because there appears to be a gap emerging in the Six Nations.
Yeah, there is. Look, I mean, the women's Six Nations, it's heavily influenced by the fact that England are fully professional and France are semi-professional, whereas Ireland and the rest are amateurs. So you have to take that into consideration. We saw it last week, England and France won both their opening games by over 50 points. So Ireland's expectations, really, third would be a fantastic finish because it qualifies you for, there's a new Women's World Tournament in 23, where a third would get them into the top tier of that. Also, they're preparing for World Cup qualifiers that were postponed. So a huge amount at play for the Irish women over the next couple of weeks.
All right, that kicks off at 5 o'clock tomorrow. It's live on RTÉ Radio and Television. Your verdict then on Leinster's very tough task away to Exeter in the Heineken Cup?
Yeah, look, this game is the tie of the quarterfinals for me. You're looking at the champions in 2018 against the champions in 2020. Exeter really impressed by them against Leon. They went 14 points down last week. and came back to win that game. I mean, Leinster and Exeter, very similar in their approach, big physical sides. They play a power game in the opposition 22. It remains to be seen whether Leinster's game last week, the postponement, will be a help or a hindrance. The one concern I have for Leinster going in, this could be the game when the loss of James Ryan and Gary Ringrose are really felt. But look, I'd never back against Leinster. I think it's going to be incredibly tight. I'd just go with them to maybe get over the line, but I am worried about the fact that Ryan's and Ringrose certainly won't be starting this one.
All right, Donal, thanks for joining us this morning. That game also live on Saturday Sport tomorrow. Now, racing, and we had two Irish winners on day one of the Grand National Festival at Aintree. Abracadabra won the Aintree Hurdle, and a very popular win for Arthur Moore with Me Too Please, ridden by Rachel Blackmore. Today's feature at Aintree is the Marsh Melling Chase, and there's also action in Wexford, which begins at 4:45. But we're going to finish by helping you maybe pick a winner for tomorrow's Grand National, and we're joined by Don McLean for that difficult task. Good morning to you, Don.
I am not sure about helping now, but sure, we'll have a stab.
We'll have a stab. Well, look, we've a strong Irish challenge, so where do we look at there?
As we know from Cheltenham, as Irish horses are on a serious upward curve, and two winners, as you say, yesterday was great as well. And it's a very strong team going for the Irish Grand National, I suppose, headed by Any Second Now, trained by Ted Walsh for JP McManus. He was on track for the race last year when it was, of course, abandoned, but he was very good in winning over 2 miles at Navan last time. And he's a horse who could improve from that. He's a staying horse. He's a progressive horse. And of course, Ted Walsh knows how to win this race, having done so in 2000 with Papillon.
And where else do you see the Irish challenge being strongest?
Yeah, well, Rachel Blackmore rides Manella Times for Henry de Bromhead, and Rachel Blackmore, another winner yesterday in the bumper for Arthur Moore, as you said. Like, she's just on fire these days. She's such a top-class rider. And Manella Times ran very well in the Paddy Power Chase at Leopardstown over Christmas over 3 miles, and then ran another big race last time over an extended 2.5 miles, which is probably a trip short of his best. So he's going to be very popular. Rachel Blackmore riding him, you can be sure there's going to be plenty of money for him, so he's probably going to shorten in the market. And Willie Mullins has Burroughs Saint in the race. He won the Irish Grand National 2 years ago, and he's probably been trained for the race for quite some time by Willie Mullins. He ran well last time in the Bobby Joe Chase on ground that was probably softer than ideal for him, so back on better ground at Aintree tomorrow, that should suit him. And Patrick Mullins takes the ride. Paul Townend, unfortunately, you have to feel for Paul Townend, he's out injured, but Patrick Mullins is a more than able deputy.
And finally, someone, Don, always wants an outsider.
Yeah, like a big outsider that I think might just outrun his odds a little bit is Balco de Flo. He's a 50-1 shot, but I think he might do a wee bit better than that. He was travelling very well in the cross-country chase at Cheltenham last time when he unseated his rider, and he's a high class horse from before, Des. He's 10 years old now. He's probably not as good as he was, but he does stay, and he has pace, and he has class, and he's got a nice racing weight of 10 stone 9, so maybe as a sneaky one who just might outrun big odds.
And the impact of the race, I mean, like, Ruby Walsh still says his Aintree win is his biggest favourite memory.
Look, it's a massive race, Des, you know, like it's the race more than any other race, even more than the Cheltenham Gold Cup, that goes beyond racing confines and takes its place in mainstream. Like, it's got universal interest, and it's such a spectacle as well. I know the fences are a little bit smaller and a little bit softer than they were years ago, but it's still a great spectacle. And yeah, no, it's just a massive race.
And as somebody who is watching betting and racing all the time, do you back a horse yourself in the National?
Yeah, I do, absolutely. It's like, it's a race that
what
is
putting you back in?
Well, I backed Burroughs Saint, the Willie Mullins horse that we mentioned. I just think that the better ground will help him. Willie Mullins, you know, we know Willie Mullins is a world class trainer. He'll probably have him primed for the race. And the ground is key to him, Des. I think when he won the Irish Grand National, like, the Irish Grand National, it does have there's precedent for Irish Grand National winners of the past going on and running very well at Aintree. And I just think he's the right type of horse for the race.
Brilliant. Okay, well, Don McLean, thanks a million for joining us. And the race is at 5:15 tomorrow, and it'll be live on Saturday Sport, which we bring you between 2 and 8 tomorrow afternoon.